you. Call the meeting of transportation to order. What's the Thursday? Thursday, the 8th. We do have a quorum, Senator Menard, Senator Davis, Senator Meyer, and Senator Pascal, and myself, Senator Kukesh. We're going on a consent calendar. Anybody object? They're all done.
Okay, then.
See if anyone was paying attention out there. Okay, the first one we have today is bills previously heard, 152. Let's see. Yes. Please come forward, state your name for the record, and let's get on to this bill. And the previous chairman who chaired this was Senator Menard, so I wasn't here for that one. But
thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jody Simpson. I'm staff to Senator Huggins. And Senator Huggins sends his regrets. He's not able to be here today. We did walk through the bill quite extensively last time, but the committee had concerns about not having heard from the department. So I've invited representatives from the department here today for your discussion and questioning. And I also have members of the municipality of Anchorage and the Matthew Borough online to respond to the concerns of the department. So with that, I have no further comments.
Any questions for the presenter? Comments? No? Well, thank you very much. Let's
thank
call
you.
The administration up then. Who would be here for administration? Would you please come forward?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jeff Otteson, Program Development Director at DOT. And let me just begin with some comments. I've read the minutes from the previous meeting. I couldn't attend that day. And I understand there's a concern that DOT is not taking a position on this legislation, so I'd like to try to explain that. As currently drafted, the legislation really does not identify a role for DOT, either in the formative stages of an RTA or in the ultimate operation and ongoing build out of that RTA. That's the fundamental reason we didn't take that initial position. That said, we believe there is a need for DOT to be involved in any future RTA. And further, we think there's a need for MPOs where they are going to apply to be involved in the RTA. And I'd like to explain that in more detail. The MPOs under federal law in Title 23 are set up to be the planning authority for transportation funding from the federal government. And so any community of 50,000 population that meets a certain density standard as well becomes an MPO. We have two in the state, Anchorage, known as AMATS, Fairbanks, known as FMATS, and it would be my guess that MATSU will become one after the 2010 census and the Census Department does their calculation. That may not happen, but I think it's probably better than 50%. So if you look at where you're likely to start to have an RTA, you're likely to have an MPO involved, or more than one MPO in some cases. And if you're in an area that's not an MPO, then it's the state that has the planning authority and the funding decision authority. And so if you think about it, by definition, RTAs are multi-jurisdictional. They're going to sort of span multiple local government boundaries. And so it's just very, very likely you could have an RTA that is partly in an MPO, partly outside of an MPO, and thus talking to the state. And so those are the two organizations that have the funding decisions. If you also then consider what an RTA does, RTAs will be transit authorities that may include rail transit, light rail transit, and almost assuredly rubber tire transit. Even if you look around the nation and you look at the biggest RTAs, the ones that run commuter rail systems and light rail systems, they also have rubber tire routes that link to those rail systems and bring people in from outlying areas. So you don't get away with the highway-based transit system, even if your first goal is, say, to build a rail-based system. Once you do that, then you really, by definition, need to talk to the DOT. There's just all sorts of overlap. You obviously want to be operating on the right-of-way. You want bus stops to be built. You may want park and rides to be built. You may want things like signal preemption, where the buses are given priority. In fact, that's happening right now in Anchorage. So the buses get priority at a traffic light. So all of these things are operational and agreements between the DOT and an RTA. So you have this need for collaboration. If you look at I think, one of the more innovative and one of the newer RTAs in the country, known as Sound Transit in Seattle. It's a very large RTA. They're doing commuter rail, they're doing new light rail, and they also have several rubber-tired transit routes. The DOT secretary in Washington State is a voting member of that board, of that Sound Transit organization. So they obviously saw a need for that relationship between the DOT and the RTA. The final thing I would say is you may end up with an RTA that straddles a borough and the unorganized borough. I'll give you a real-life example because I've heard discussions of this possibility. In Fairbanks, you have an RTA, or not an RTA, you have the possibility of an RTA that would start in the borough boundary but would have routes that might go to Delta Junction or Nenana, which are in the unorganized borough. So then you have essentially no local government at the borough level. You have, of course, the legislature acting as the borough assembly and the state really acting as the local government in those areas. So DOT's role there, too, might be useful. And when you have an unorganized borough as part of an RTA boundary along with a borough boundary. And so these are all the reasons why I think there's a need for both MPOs and DOTs to have a role in the RTA. And whether that's permissive or mandatory, I would leave up to you. But I think that it ought to at least be allowed.
But as it relates to this bill right now,
and it's silent.
That's not in there.
It's silent, and so the question would always be, what was the intent? Is this allowed? If you make it permissive, allowed, language that makes it allowed, you at least close down the question of, you know, couldn't this even happen? If you make it mandatory, which is your option, that too would make it clear to anybody reading the legislation.
As it relates to this bill right now, what is the position of the Department of Transportation?
I think the Department of Transportation believes that RTAs are necessary in Alaska. I think if you just sort of step back and look at the Constitution, our constitutional writers here in Alaska saw the problems with multiplicities of small local governments and special governments being created. If you look around the country, you have them all over. And they said, well, we're going to have boroughs. And boroughs are large, big footprints, and try to eliminate the need for these special purpose governmental entities. But quite frankly, you can't cover all possibilities, and you can now see places where RTAs are appropriate. So
do you believe, as the Department of Transportation, this is a necessary first step?
I think it's a necessary first step. I do believe it would be better off if you clarified the roles of MPOs and the DOT in the formation of those organizations, so everyone understands what that role is.
Questions from the members of the committee? Senator Davis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I heard your statement, and you said there's a role for transportation. Are you saying that something needs to be within this bill? Did you bring forward a possible amendment or some wording that might need to be added to this bill?
I'd be happy to bring forward that amendment. I don't have it today, Senator Davis.
But you are suggesting that it would be better to put something within the bill rather than to leave it silent and have to come back and deal with that later?
Through the chair, Senator Davis, my experience has been when we have these sort of gaps of, well, what was the intent? Is it possible? It's never clear, and it raises more questions than if it's just clearly addressed from the outset.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Senator Menard.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for being here. We did raise the question of where was DOT and could they speak to this, and so I appreciate you getting prepared to come. But you mentioned the state of Washington. They have a DOT person that is part of the discussion. He's actually on the board, he or she. Are you proposing that you feel that we should be somebody from DOT? As like the railroad board, they have the commissioner, Mr. Von Shaven, as part of the railroad board. Is that something that you're proposing?
Through the chair, Senator Menard, I'm not sure it would need to be at the secretary as it is in Washington State, which is equivalent to a commissioner here in Alaska. I can tell you the commissioner already has a lot of boards to sit on. Mm-hmm. But I think it's probably appropriate for the regional director of DOT to be in that role for each region. So.
And then follow up, and I was confused. You said already the buses have priority, say, over for the stops, priority over cars and trucks. I actually thought, driving my car, I had the priority over the bus, and you said currently that's already happening in Anchorage.
Let me explain.
Would you clarify
through the chair?
That?
Yes, Senator Menard. Bus prioritization has been around a long time. It's just now coming to Anchorage. The way it works is it's very much like how the emergency vehicles work already.
Okay.
Emergency vehicles, this traffic lights recognize an emergency vehicle is approaching with its emergency lights on, and it gives priority to that vehicle to get through the intersection. They basically turn everything else red. Bus prioritization, depending upon how it's structured, can be a little bit not quite as straightforward as emergency vehicles. In some cases, the bus will signal that to the signal ahead, I have a full load. And then the signal will say, well, you're really the priority. If I let you through, I'm letting through 40 people. Okay, so it's sort of counting bodies and not vehicles. On the other hand, it may be an empty bus and it wouldn't get a priority. I don't know how they're setting this up, but the technology is there for all those permutations.
And I would just argue that I can get through faster than a big bus can, but anyway, that's another whole subject. But I really like this bill, and I'm interested in all the stimulus money and what our president said that, you know, he's going to throw a big portion of the highway money towards transit. And so I was interested in making sure that we had a vehicle in place, and that's why I was very supportive with the sponsor, as well as in a year or so ago, my husband helped establish that with the Anchorage mayor. And so I know a little bit about this, and like you say, I want you to be part of the conversation, and I'm appreciative that you can kind of bring us along, because I certainly would like to pass this out so we do have a vehicle when the additional dollars come, that we have something in place that we can accept monies.
Right. If I can just kind of comment first, just a little joke. You can go to the internet and buy one of those preemption devices so you too can get through the red light quick. Fortunately, that hasn't become a law enforcement problem in Alaska, but it actually is a law enforcement problem in several states. Probably the one thing I didn't make real clear is there will be additional money. Almost undoubtedly, most of that money will either be running through the MPO or the state DOT. So that's where the money begins and ends. That's why the RTAs want those two organizations on their board, because they want to be able to have coordination. And they really are, at the federal level, the planning authority. So, I mean, the best example of this right here in our own state is what's going on in AMATS with the Kubota board. And you've got a Kubota organization established by the legislature, giving a very high priority if you read the foundational statute. And yet that MPO is really driving the train with regard to whether that project proceeds or doesn't proceed. So the MPO is actually in the driver's seat, despite the fact that this organization was set up. Now, they just had a vote 2 weeks ago on this very issue, and that vote was to potentially shut down that project for nearly a decade. That didn't happen.
But the
real message there is MPOs and other regional transportation organizations need to be collaborative.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions for the presenter? Senator Pascal?
And this is along the lines of your question, Senator Kukesh, regarding DOT. This is the bill as it is a necessary first step, but then you want to have DOT to have specific involvement at some point in time. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Pascavan, I think it's appropriate because of the way the federal funding works. I actually think it makes the RTA's chances of success much higher, that you basically have a conversation that can occur at the board-to-board level. And you know, we all understand what each party is doing at what time.
So if one were to be crafting a conceptual amendment as to the involvement, in other words, I think this bill should move, and I don't want to delay it. And if one were to be thinking about a conceptual amendment, would this be just under like B3, for example, DOT may participate with a regional transit authority created in this section? Is that literally all that needs to be done?
Senator Pascavan, through the chair, that's literally what I would, the type of language I'd envision. Permissive language, I think, is fine. I think quite frankly, the impetus to have DOT at the table is so strong because they control the funding strings to some degree that an RTA would increase its own chance of success with that permission.
Thank you. That's all.
Thank you.
Just for a question, I'm sorry if I didn't hear it as clear. Are you suggesting may or shall be part of the?
May participate with a RTA created by this act or whatever the terminology is. I'm just thinking. as a conceptual.
Right. And you might want to even add to that a representative from any coincident metropolitan planning organization.
Say that one more time.
Yeah.
You know, a representative from a any coincident metropolitan planning organization. And I should give you one more kind of hint of what I think is coming. The transportation bill, of course, it's not passed, and it's only kind of in the formative stages in Congress. But in the one bill draft that's available to read, the money would be going to MPOs directly. They would become state DOTs with respect to money. It would no longer run through state DOT. It would no longer be appropriated by this body. It would be allocated straight to that MPO. So clearly the RTAs want to be talking to that MPO if they've got control of the purse strings. So.
Thank you. You have any other questions? If not, thank you for your presentation. Is there anybody else in the room that would like to testify? If not, we'll go off net and we'll call from the Matsu Borough, Matt Swartz.
Good afternoon, committee members and chairman. My name is Brad Swartz. I'm the transportation and environmental manager for the Matsu Borough. We fully support the creation of the Regional Transit Authority, and we're working closely with the municipality of Anchorage on this matter. Due to the increase in transit operations in the Matsu Borough and between the Matsu Borough and Anchorage, we're currently working with DOT on an agreement that puts a lot of responsibility on the borough to locate, review, bus stops, signing, and other type of improvements necessary for transit operations. After working on this for several weeks, it's been clear to me that much of this management and coordination of transit operations should really be carried out through an RTA and may be beyond what the borough can handle at this time. I guess I'd just like to encourage the committee to support the creation of an RTA, and I think other municipalities and communities in Alaska are going to benefit very much by that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Mrs. Swartz? Okay, thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon. We have two other people online, but it looks like they're just here to answer questions. Jody Karras and Alton Staff from Anchorage Public Transportation. Do you have any testimony, or are we just here to answer questions?
Hi, this is Jody Karras. I'm the Public Transportation Director with the Municipality of Anchorage. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
You can? Okay. A couple things. One, yes, we're here to add any information or answer any questions you may have. I would like to point out that when the Matsu Borough and the municipality kind of started talking about what a regional transportation authority may look like or how to start, I guess, this process, about a year and a half ago, we did bring DOT to the table, and we felt it was important to have DOT. So I guess I would like to continue to say I believe they continue to be a very strong player in this. So that being said, if you have any questions, I can follow through on that. I would like to, I guess, take a moment and talk to you about the OPTICOM, or Transit Priority Project, that we have here that Mr. Otteson referred to. We did get assembly approval to do a pilot program only on two bus routes, and of 217 traffic signals within Anchorage, only 20 of those signals are equipped to accept bus priority. And this is not high priority like fire gets or emergency vehicles. In Anchorage, that capability has been around for many, many years, where a fire truck will come up to an intersection and it immediately turns green to let them through. Our system, it's the same technology, but with buses, it's a low priority. It doesn't totally interrupt a traffic signal like fire does, but it continues its cycle of red, green, yellow, but it'll speed up the red a little bit, or it'll hold the green a little bit. It's a demonstration project only for a year. Our task is to find out what it does to transit trip time. Again, we've got 40 people going through an intersection, and one of the big disincentives to riding the bus is how long it takes. So what we're looking at is how long it takes to get a bus through the intersection, and the other task is going to be what happens to the side cross streets. Keep in mind, Opticom is mostly for peak hour direction. So the what we'd be doing is our buses help keep traffic going in the peak direction, and there has been so far minimal impact on the cross streets.
Thank you very much. Questions? Senator Pascal.
Thank you, Senator Kukesh. Would you have any problem with the conceptual amendment then that DOT may participate, or representatives of coincident metropolitan planning organizations may participate with an RTA created by the Act?
No. In fact, I think it's a good amendment.
Thank you.
Questions? Other questions? Senator Menard?
Just to that end, I would like stronger language, though. I would like it to say shall instead of may. And that would assure that they shall be part of this.
Conceptually, you're saying that because that's a conceptual amendment.
Mm-hmm,
yet, so.
Mm-hmm. Conceptually.
In other words, I don't have a problem with saying, if we're in debate, saying shall if DOT believes the word should be shall as compared to may, and I defer to the department.
Well, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. I don't know where we got off that, but I have somebody else from Anchorage who's online. Are you finished, Jody, with your presentation?
Yes, and if you have any questions, we are here.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's go to Ralph Dury from Anchorage. Did you have any testimony, or are you just here to answer questions?
Well, I'm here to answer questions, but I would like to indicate that we would be in support of the amendment, or the conceptual amendment proposed by Senator Pascrand.
I'm sorry, could you just state your name and affiliation for the record, just for the record, please?
Oh, yes. My name is Ralph Duerre. That's spelled D-U-E-R-R-E, and I'm an assistant municipal attorney with the Municipality of Anchorage.
Great. Thank you so much.
And once again, we would support the conceptual amendment proposed by Senator Pascrand. The structure of Senate Bill 152 is, as you might appreciate, is quite flexible. It's designed to be flexible to allow its operation statewide through a number of geographic areas with a number of transportation facilities on the road, on the rail, under a variety of transportation plans. With that said, there's no question that DOT and any MPOs will play a vital role in the success of the RTA, and their participation is most welcome. As Jody Carr said earlier, we have been in extensive negotiations with DOT through the conceptual beginnings of this RTA in Senate Bill 152. And I might add, at some point along our conversation, there was some reservation as to whether or not the DOT wants to formally hold a voting seat at the board of an RTA. But their participation is most welcome. I would urge that it be on a permissive basis, much again, as suggested by Senator Pascrand, that the DOT or an MPO representative may participate. Once again, with the idea that we want to maintain as much flexibility as possible to appropriately design the RTA to the circumstances. And if you have any questions or further comments, I'd be glad to take them.
Thank you. Any questions? I don't see any, so thank you very much for your presentation. Anybody else in the audience want to testify? And I don't think we have anybody else online. No, we don't. So we'll close public testimony. We'll have discussion of them, the committee. Oh, I'm sorry. Now, well, part of the discussion will include him asking him to come back up if he wants to talk. Do you want to move your conceptual amendment?
It sounds like
there's some discussion here that we should have on the conceptual amendment. If we don't have it before us, we're certainly not going to have the discussion.
Okay. Then yes, Mr. Chair, I would. Okay. I would move that under Section B, a new number, B3, such that it would read, the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities may participate, and or a representative of a coincident metropolitan planning organization may participate with a regional transit authority created by this act.
Good. Any objections to the conceptual amendment?
I object, because I was, may I speak
yes,
to
yes,
my
please.
Objection, please? I object because I really honor and elevate DOT, and I want to make sure, I don't want it to be a choice of, for whatever reasons they can't be part, and so if we say shall, that that sends a strong message that they shall be at the table making these decisions.
Now that we have the two positions, I'll ask you to come forward and tell me what DOT wants. You want shall or may? Make it easy on us.
Through the chair, I have to decide between my two favorite senators. Is that fair? three, four. But she hasn't staked a position yet.
Favorite freshman senator.
I could imagine a few circumstances where DOT or an MPO may not be involved. So if you make it mandatory, it makes it, you know, it kind of forces the issue. I don't know that I've had a chance to think about it. I think permissive goes a long ways toward resolving our concerns, and I honestly think if an RTA thinks about it for more, as Jody Cart said, if they think about it, why would you not want the people with the strings to the funding on your board? So you, by making it permissive, you essentially pretty much almost guaranteed it'll happen.
And I agree with that, Senator Menard. I really think that I like the idea of making it, keeping it permissive. I think we had a couple of people testify that they thought it should be permissive, and that's where I would come down on permissive.
Thank you.
Any other comments on the question? Senator Menard, do you maintain your objection to me?
No, I will yield to the chair.
Thank you very much. See, I'll resolve that. Okay, we do have is there any objection to the amendment? Seeing none, then it becomes part of the
yep.
bill. Seeing no objection. Any other comments on the bill before we move on, members of the committee? If not, what's the wish of the committee? I'd like to move this on to the next committee referral, which will be the Finance Committee, by the way.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I would move that Senate Bill 152, with the conceptual amendment as adopted by this committee, be moved from this committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Fiscal note's fine.
Yes.
Okay, any objection? No, then it is moved on, and we'll just go ahead and sign the document. We'll take a couple-minute break to sign our paperwork here. Session. We have before us CS for House Bill 366, an act relating to indemnification agreements that relate to motor carrier transportation contracts. Your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Thank you. My name is Jeannie Osnes. I'm staff to Representative Craig Johnson. He probably won't make it today. He thought he could, but just in case, I brought his book. This bill basically is putting a new provision into statute that works for both the motor carrier and the shipper, making sure that each of them are responsible for their own negligence or omissions. So I can go down through a sectional if you'd like, or discuss it further, but that's all it does. Is
whatever your preference is, we'd be glad to hear you.
That's all it does. It gives the shipper and the motor carrier the ability to take care of their own omissions or problems that they may have, most likely identified by a court case.
Thank you. Any questions for the presenter? If not, thank you very much. And let's go ahead and move on to the next. Anybody else in the room, would you like to come forward? Yes, please. Your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Aves Thompson. I'm the executive director of the Alaska Trucking Association. And the Alaska Trucking Association is a statewide organization representing the interests of our nearly 200 members from Barrow to Ketchikan. Freight movement is an essential element in our economy and impacts all of us each and every day. The simple truth is that if you got it, a truck brought it. One of the priorities of the Alaska Trucking Association this year has been to achieve tort reform in the area of indemnification agreements in motor carrier transportation contracts. A motor carrier must generally comply with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Regulations when transporting goods and is also subject to additional common law or statutory duties or responsibilities. Likewise, shippers and other parties frequently have legal duties and responsibilities to fulfill when they provide goods for transportation. More and more frequently, however, language is creeping into motor carrier contracts wherein the shipper is requiring the motor carrier to contractually agree to indemnify and hold harmless the shipper of the shippers for the shipper's own failure to meet its legal duties and responsibilities. The committee substitute for House Bill 366 provides statutory language that voids contractual provisions in a motor carrier transportation contract that indemnify either a shipper or the motor carrier for either the shipper or the motor carrier's own negligent or intentional acts or omissions which lead to claims. We believe that this approach sets a level playing field where each party is responsible for their own actions. House Bill 366 does not establish any new duties or responsibilities for any party, and it does not limit the party's freedom to contract except to improve safety. This language allows each party to control their own employees or agents to improve any unsafe practices. We've worked with industry groups who agree that the committee substitute constitutes an equitable condition where both parties to the motor carrier transportation contract are responsible for their own negligent actions or inactions that lead to claims. I mentioned that we've worked with industry groups, and that those groups who are supportive would include some of the notes that are on the handout. We've worked with British Petroleum, ConocoPhillips, the Associated General Contractors, Associated Builders and Contractors, the Alaska Miners Association, Alaska State Chamber of Commerce, the Ocean Carriers Equipment Management Association, which is responsible for the third paragraph in that deals with uniform agreements administered under IANA. I would also point out that 12 other states have enacted similar laws, and that eight other states have legislation pending, including Alaska. I'd also like to add that the Alaska Trucking Association supports this bill.
Thank you very much. Questions from members of the committee? Senator Pascal?
Yes, thank you, Senator Kukesh. I want to commend Aves, and I spoke with him here a number of weeks ago, and I very much support this bill. I believe what they are trying to advance is a very good social policy. I think that each person should be responsible for their own conduct, and that's what I've indicated to him, and that to try to allow private parties to say someone else will pay for their fault is inherently a troubling concept in my mind. And so I'm supportive of a law that prohibits the defendant indemnify and hold harmless where you're requiring somebody else to be responsible for your own bad conduct. So that's I want that on the record. I think that this is a good bill and it's good social policy.
Great.
I think it promotes safety.
Thank you very much. Any other comments for? Yes.
Well, I just imagine that you've heard there's been input from Alaska Insurance Company about shifting the liability responsibility.
I'm not aware of that through the chair, Senator Menard.
Yes, please come back up and state your name for the record. And you can just stay there if you would.
Okay. Jeannie Osnes for Representative Craig Johnson. Linda Hall looked at the bill, and she had no problem with it. She is the division director for insurance.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Thompson? Well, thank you very much for both of you for having your, unless you have more to offer.
I just have one other thing. The intent of this legislation is not to to void the whole contract. If somebody has a contract between, it's just the portion that is dealing with the omission or neglect.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
Anybody else in the audience want to testify on this particular bill? Seeing none, we're going to go off net to Dean McKenzie from Alaska West Express. Are you on, sir?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am. Again, this is Dean McKenzie. I'm the president of Alaska West Express. It's a Alaska West is a Linden-owned company. I wrote a letter to Senator Johnson on or Representative Johnson on March 3rd. At that time, we had one incident where we were, or one situation where we were working through with a national company that does drilling work internationally, as well as in Alaska. We still haven't resolved that issue, but coincidentally enough, since that time, we've got two more national companies that have the same lopsided language in their master service agreements that we're working through. So there's a tremendous amount of time by Alaskan companies working through these issues individually, and a company our size or the size of Linden companies as a whole, we've got the resources to take our time and plod through this, but I have concern for the smaller contractors or carriers that don't have the ability to do that, and sometimes because of the economics, they sign and get themselves into predicaments that they shouldn't be in the first place. It's, as has been stated here, it's, you know, we all should be responsible for our own actions, but we shouldn't be tied to be responsible for somebody else's actions that we don't necessarily have any control over. Thank you.
Could you state just for the record whether you're for or against this legislation?
Oh, I'm definitely for it.
Thank you. I got that impression, but he didn't say it one way or the other. So
okay, my apologies.
Okay, any questions for Mr. McKenzie, from members of the committee? Hearing none, we'll go to Jimmy Doyle, who's from Weaver Brothers Trucking.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Jimmy Doyle with Weaver Brothers. Mr. Chairman, thank you for accepting my call. I am the vice president of Weaver Brothers, and we have approximately 150 employees in the state of Alaska, and we are Alaskan-owned. We do also support this legislation. We feel it's the right thing to do. I actually have an example. Mr. McKenzie had an example. I have one that is not personal to our company, but I know it has happened. And this is the type of example that this legislation would stop from occurring in the future. A trucking company was delivering a load of gas to a gas station, had completed the delivery, and had left the gas station, and it actually 4 or 5 days had occurred since the delivery. Situation occurred where a customer came in and was attempting to fuel a small tank, a small portable tank in the back of their vehicle. There was an arc and an ignition, a spark, and this person was burned. Because the trucking company had signed this type of agreement with the gas station, they were actually pulled in and made response. They had to actually pay the claim because they had been they had indemnified the gas station from any kind of losses, even though they had nothing to do with the actual incident. So this type of legislation that's being proposed here is something that would correct a wrong, so to speak.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the committee for Mr. Doyle? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony this afternoon.
Thank you.
Do we have anybody else online? No? Okay, we're going to close public testimony. What's the wish of the committee?
I'm convinced it should. be passed out.
Yes. Yeah, motion, somebody will. Yes.
Mr. Chair, I would move that the CS for House Bill 366 pass from this committee to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notice.
Great, thank you very much. Any objections?
No, sir.
Seeing no objections from the committee, this bill is passed out. We'll take a couple minute break to sign the document. See you, Minister. Come back into session here, and we have House Joint Resolution 47 urging the United States Coast Guard to amend its regulations relating to small vessels transporting fuel and supplies to remote communities and businesses in the state. Representative Johansson is here with us. Would you please come and join us, please?
Thank you.
Name and affiliation for the record, please. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for scheduling this bill. My name is Kyle Johansson, representative for House District 1. This is really very straightforward. It's a great story is what it is. It's two guys in Ketchikan, a father and son team, designed from the ground up a vessel made out of aluminum that basically fits into a niche in coastal Alaska to deliver fuel, supplies, and people to remote areas, towns, villages, and businesses. And the chairman and I are uniquely situated in an area, his district abuts mine, and this vessel serves my district and it serves the chairman's district. I know he's familiar with it. The problem is to have this certified by the Coast Guard, they received a single vessel exemption. It's the only vessel in the United States that is certified to do these duties. And what these two constituents of mine are trying to do is work their way through the Coast Guard regulatory process to create a class of vessels. They have interest up and down the coast of Alaska, all the way up and down, and in the river systems. Also, in the United States, people have taken notice. They've, and I believe one of the gentlemen is online, but they have people as far back as Maine asking about this vessel. It's a really great story. These guys, white piece of paper, pencil, designed it, got it certified. They want to create a class. They have the second vessel on the drawing board. They want to build it. They can't because the Coast Guard won't regulate it. So this simply goes back to the Coast Guard, to the regulators, and says, we can do it. Let us do it. We can build them here in Alaska. We can serve Alaska and coastal communities all across the nation. And we're just trying to help them wade through the regulatory process.
Questions for the sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This isn't a criticism, just a suggestion. I would love to see a picture of it in the packet because it intrigues me. And I'm certainly supportive of trying to pass this resolution so the Coast Guard would grant more vessels of this type, maybe all over the world, who knows. But I know their jurisdiction is just right here, right now in the United States. But and I appreciate that they did see the wisdom of granting this first vessel. So I think it is a success story. And I'm just sitting here, I'd be so anxious to see what it looks like. But understanding, is it just like 500 barrels of what is the oil that they transport? It's a small amount, correct?
Yeah, and for the specifics, we have the one of the gentlemen online that I think can answer to the specifics, and we can, before it's scheduled for the floor, provide the Senate with schematics and pictures, et cetera, of that vessel.
Yeah, we can be that way.
Thank you. Just because, of course, the first thing that comes to mind is if there was an oil spill with this vessel and, you know, all the implications that that brings and the concerns, but I will yield to, but maybe the person online can answer a lot of.
Or any other questions for Representative Transom? Yes, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is this, are these vessels made at this Ketchikan shipyard, or is this, where's this made?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Meyer, this was not constructed at the shipyard. I'm not completely certain where it was constructed, but the potential for manufacturing industry with this class of vessels certainly would interest both the Ketchikan shipyard. Sitka has private shipbuilding businesses, Allen Marine that does aluminum. So there's plenty of opportunity for manufacturing in Alaska, but the specific, I'm not sure, you'd have to ask Mr. Stokely. Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, thank you. We'll go to Mr. Is it Spokely to
yes,
get
sir.
His dimensions and words with Bill. You can just stay there. I don't think, is there anybody else in the audience that wants to testify? If not, why don't you just stay here and keep us company?
Okay.
Let's go down off net to Mr. Dave Spokely. Are you on, sir?
Yes, I am.
Yes. State your name and affiliation for the record, and we'd like to have your testimony, if you would.
David Spokely. I'm with Power Systems and Supplies of Alaska. Actually, thank you for your interest in the resolution. We first put this program together about 6 years ago when we recognized the need in Southeast. With the change of the timber industry, there was a need for smaller vessels to deliver to smaller communities and remote sites. And so we designed the vessel partially in conjunction with the Coast Guard and with state DEC. In regards to your questions, the vessel is a 3,000-gallon vessel. And we designed it with the assistance of state DEC, and we created the vessel so it is a spill response vessel. It carries all of the necessary equipment, all of the training, all of the crew, and we can clean up, and we have been utilized as a response vessel for cleaning up other vessel spills. So anytime we're traveling, we can clean up a spill of our size or greater. Also, the vessel is aluminum. It's 44 feet. It's a high-speed aluminum landing craft, and it was built down in Seattle area, but we own the jigs, we own the design, and so we are now prepared to build these vessels in Alaska, preferably in southern southeast.
Very good. Thank you very much. Questions? Senator Menard.
Sorry, I'm full of questions today. This isn't like me. I'm just wondering if Homeland Security has any issues with a vessel of this type.
Actually, that is where the issue lies right now, and that's why the reason for the resolution. When we worked with the design of the vessel, Coast Guard Ketchikan, the Marine Safety Detachment, and the Juneau office spent a lot of time helping us assist in getting this vessel designed specifically for our type of waters and our type of service, and combining fuel freight and passenger service all in a combined. Coast Guard loved it here locally. Coast Guard loved it Juneau. Coast Guard loved it statewide. Moved it forward as a resolution or as an exemption initially with the intent to write regulations to make our vessel a standard so regulations wouldn't be required. It went all the way to Homeland Security. Homeland Security did not have an issue with the vessel design until it got to their lawyers, and they said because of the specifics of the way the regulations are written today, we can't do aluminum and bulk fuel at the same time, no matter the quantity. So we basically meet the same standards as a 500,000 barrel vessel for regulations. And they don't have a means of allowing us to do it otherwise, except through the exemption. So they started the process in Juneau last year of writing regulations, new regulations that would specifically make our vessel a standard. Homeland Security did not disagree with that, but decided that they would not allow any funding for the or authorize any funding for the development of the regulations. So it that's where it's at. And then our exemption came back as a single vessel, meaning that we couldn't expand beyond the Ketchikan area until the regulations are written. So we're kind of on that catch-22 with Coast Guard now, just put it on a back burner and ignored it. So we're hoping the state would be able to recognize the need for this service throughout the state, and then the Coast Guard will be able to recognize the service throughout the country.
Senator Johansson.
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to add to that, we've been working with all three members of the congressional delegation, both senators and the congressmen, and they're all helping us and these folks try and get through that process. So this is it's coordinated with the federal elected officials.
Thank you. Questions from members of the committee. Senator Menard.
Yeah. Throughout this session, there's been a theme and a high focus on jobs. Would it be safe to say that if this could go forward, it could promote up to 100 jobs for, would that be a true estimation? And would that influence the Coast Guard at all?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Menard, I'm not sure how many jobs, but it's my understanding that, and Mr. Spokley can talk about it, that they've been deluged with requests for use of the vessel, and they simply can't create another vessel. And part of the thing that we're doing down in southern southeast is trying to create a marine, Alaska's Marine Center. We have the shipyard, which is a state-owned asset and operated by folks in Ketchikan. And attracting businesses like this to help that overall plan of being manufacturing things in Alaska, which we don't do a lot of, it's part of the puzzle. Quantifying how many, I'm not sure, but the activity we want to have here rather than in Seattle or Tacoma.
Thank you. Questions from members of the committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
No? Any members? No? Thank you. I don't see anybody else to testify. We don't have anybody else online, so I'm going to close public testimony. And it's my intention to move the bill. What is the wish of the committee?
We move it.
I'm waiting for your motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that the House Joint Resolution number 47 be moved from this committee to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations, and I thank the bill sponsor.
Thank you very much. If there's no objection, then we'll move the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. And with that, we're adjourned. We just got to sign our